Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Blessing our lives. Are we there? Make time to listen to it, okay? These things that we are learning here, if we meditate on them and make practice of them, we will always carry testimonies into our life. They are weapon. The Bible calls it the weapon of light. The weapon of light. And wherever there is light, darkness cannot comprehend. Are we there? So the weapon of light is very important. The focus of being a Bible teaching or teaching church is because discipleship is a non-negotiable too. And a disciple is the one who takes after the similitude of the master and exact nature of the master. Are we there? So if we pray, and if we are men and women of prayer, you see, the activity of prayer is not the whole thing. As we go on, when we are done with the forms of prayer, and we start to look at the complements of prayer, when we talk about the vessel, when we talk about the place of faith, when we talk about the place of obedience, you will see that prayer is a very dangerous tool. People can be involved in the activities of prayer, and it will be a total waste of their time. Are we on the same page? Okay. So today, we want to continue with what God has given us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. It's exactly 10 o'clock. Oh, so this clock was working? Oh, okay, fine. All right. Are we ready? Okay. As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 to 31. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 to 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Verse 31. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them and have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look at the first reading, you'll find out that the second verse was not God's intent, but because there was nobody. Hallelujah. Let's read the book of Psalms chapter. Okay, before we read Psalms, let's read the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh what? Help me. The Spirit itself maketh what? Intercession. For us with groanings which cannot be what? Altered. The Greek translation for the word groanings also here means that words that cannot be interpreted in plain languages. So when we pray in tongues by the activations of the Holy Spirit, it is also fit into this what? Description. Words that cannot be altered means that words that cannot be spoken in plain, understandable what? Language. Are we there? Last reading, which I'll prefer that we all read together, the book of Psalm 106, the verse 23. The book of Psalms 106, verse 23. Therefore, can we read together? Let's go. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. It pleases the Lord that today we should still continue on the forms of prayer as it's been recommended to us by the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Paul said that therefore, I exhort that prayers, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession be made for all men. So this was a recommendation by the Apostle Paul unto the church. And by the grace of God, we've been able to look at the prayer of what? Supplication and prayer of what? thanksgiving. And today it pleases the Lord that we will look at the prayer of what? Intercession. And the title that the Lord has laid on my heart is that I sought for a man among them. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, as your word come, we pray that you come with power and might and bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to pay rapt attention to what I'm about to talk about today. Because to some of you, it may sound like something that does not concern you. But I believe that by the time we are through today, you will come to an understanding to know that the prayer of intercession is one of the most important prayer activity that every believer should be trained and be acquainted with. Hallelujah. I know that prayer of intercession, which should be one of the common practices in the Christian faith or in the church of these days, is hardly practiced. It's one of the things that we hardly see as part of our prayer activity when we gather, either in corporate gatherings or even in an even individual closet of prayer. The reason is that the current orientation for today's Christian is more of self-centered and self-focused Christian, rather than the true Christian life, where others are of much concern and the well-being of the collective number is the priority. What am I trying to say? Give me the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 32 all the way to 35. Because the reason why intercession of our generation is not much practice is because of the self-centered, self-focused Christianity we are practicing. Self-centered is that when we come to church or in our today Christian practice, what we do is that it should, if it only benefits me, I'm okay. When others are suffering, it's none of our business. Self-centered, self-focused, childlike thinking. It is only children who only think about themselves. So you see that the average Christian is raised to think about himself and not for the collective gain. Now let's look at the behavior of the early church. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Can you read that? Can we say that about today's church? Said none of the church members over there could say that whatever was in their possession is their owners of it. Now let's continue. But they had all things in what? In common. So whatever I have, it's for the collective good of what? Of all. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Can we move on? Neither was there any among them that lacked. Can you believe this? Why? From the very previous verse we read, we found out that it was in the nature that none of them hold on to anything as their own. And it was for the common good. And because of that, there was nobody lacking in the church. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Can we continue? And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Can we say that about today's church? Today's church, we are much concerned of. So as you are here, I can tell you with all authority that a fellow Christian does not care to trample over another Christian as long as it will be in his own interest. So right in the church, we think of how to be very deceptive against each other. We self-centered, self-focused. That's why the pastor does not preach about 10 ways for which you can make money. You don't like church. You are not happy at church because pastor didn't talk about anything that will meet yourself. Self-centered, self-focused. And because of self-centered and self-focusedness, we have lost touch with one of the common key practices called the prayer of intercession. You'll be surprised that well, as we go along, you'll find out that the reason why, if today should we organize a prayer and we say that the prayer focus is that we are praying for Ghana or praying for the leadership of this country, even if we are going to give a token of 1,000 Ghana cedis each to people who participate, it cannot be compared to the number of people who go for a worship concert at Accra Sports Stadium if they will have to pay for it. You know why? Self-centered, self-focused Christians. Number two, the reason why we have this kind of low attention for intercession is because
Do you know that because of this self-centeredness, there's a lot of casualty in the body of Christ? Do you know that? Oh, yeah. We will look about these things as time goes on, but today is not my focus. The reason why a Christian sister, very serious Christian sister, has ended up marrying a Muslim, which is a spiritual casualty and a loss to the kingdom, is because there's a Christian brother or a brother or a sister in Christ who stand the capacity to help her but refuse to help her. Yeah. That Christian sister had an accident and died because we were busy praying for ourselves and we were not ready for God to lay on our heart people we should pray for. So when God was looking for somebody to use as a point of contact to avert that accident, there was nobody available. We'll get there. Number two, there is a little practice of intercession because it's either out of ignorance, if I should call it, or it's out of lack of understanding. Many Christians do not understand that God created us to live on the principle called the principle of interdependency on each other. This is what makes us social beings, and it's every human to be able to relate socially with people. The principle of what? Interdependency on each other. It's either out of ignorance or lack of what? Clarity. We don't hold on to this principle. That's why we don't pray for each other. We don't intercede. We don't understand the concept of intercession. Are you following me? Yes. Now, God created man and established three lines of relationship. Take this from me. Three lines of relationship that every man must live up to. Number one, he's at number one. The first relationship that fully dependency on God. That's why God said that without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without, irrespective of whatever you do, it amounts to nothing if God is not involved. The book of Psalm 127, it said, the builder builds in vain if the Lord does not build, and the watchman watches in vain if the Lord does not watch over what? The city. So that principle underlines that man is fully dependent on what? God. And God laid this principle such that for a fish to survive, it needs water. For a plant to survive, it needs what? To be planted in the soil. For man to survive, man must be in him. Number two, the second line of relationship is that man should be independent from the devil. It is never in God's design that the devil should have any contribution to what man has to do in his life. That's why in the church, we keep encouraging the believer that give no place for the devil. Give no foothold, because there is nothing he can contribute to your life. God created you that you practically doesn't need the devil. Neither his systems. Are you with me? Hello? You do not need the systems of this world, which is being orchestrated and handled, being controlled by the devil to make it. Because if you seek thee the kingdom and the righteousness, all things are added unto you. So man was created to be totally independent from the devil. The devil has no place in what God wants to do in the life of man. The third one is that we are interdependent on each other. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Follow me. I'm talking about the art intercession. I said the reason why the level of intercession is low and is least practiced in the church is, number one, the orientation of what? Self-centered Christianity. And number two, the ignorance about the principle of what? Principle of what? Interdependency on what? Each other. Are you following me? And if these two things are not corrected in the church, that we live for each other, and that for the collective good of all is for the benefit of all of us, and that we interdepend on each other as because of being social being, we would take intercession serious. If intercession is not built from this kind of conviction, we will not take it serious. Are you following me? Okay, so now let's read. Then I'll come to this. Two are better than what? One, because they have a good reward for their what? Verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his what? His fellow. But woe to him that is alone. You hear that? Woe. Woe unto you if you are alone. The principle of interdependency means that no man on this earth can be effective without another. It war on you when you are alone. Are we there? When Eve falleth, for he had not another to help him up. From this scripture, it is obvious that there is a time that you will fall. It didn't say if ye falleth. Did you read it? Is that if? When is what? It's certain. Because life is not a straight line equation. There is always the time where you will fall. But the Bible said that woe unto you when you fall, you are alone. So God created us to be interdependent on each other so that in the days of falling, there will be a person to what? Most of the times, this scripture is quoted in relation to marriage. But I'm telling you, it is a general principle. Can we continue the reading? The verse 11 is dangerous. Say again, if two lie together, they shall have heat. But how can one be warm alone? I pray for all the singles in the name of Jesus. Are there singles in this church? I pray for all the singles in the church. That God will help you to warm up in the name of Jesus. I'm not the one saying it. The Bible said that if one lie alone. Okay. See, there's principle of there's not that you don't have the capacity to warm yourself. Can ask the married ones, they'll tell you. If two lie together. But it's a principle that hallelujah. Amen. Becky, is anybody asking you a question? If they want to know, they should marry. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that one person do not have that capability to warm him or herself. However, if they are two, both of them will be what? Warm. What does this mean? It means that there is a certain point in life you need somebody to gain the same benefit. Are we there? Let's read the last verse and we move on. The last verse. Verse 12. For if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Now you're seeing it right now. So now it has gone beyond just one person. Now we are coming to what? Two. Then he makes a very strong point. A threefold cord is not quickly what? Broken. It means that when you are interdependent, you are connected to others. Are you following me? It is very difficult that whatever binds you can be broken. That is why even though it is one person that leads war, it takes multitude to fight a battle. No, not one person cannot fight a battle. Because if one person is over empowered, two shall take a stand and withstand whoever is empowering the person. If this principle stands and is true, it means that if we are interdependent on each other, what one does will directly or indirectly affect your life. Do you agree with me? So it is expected of us to take interest in what others do to make sure that they do not negatively affect our lives, because we can be saved, S-A-V-E-D, but not safe, S-A-F-E, due to the actions and inaction of others. Do you get it? So if this principle holds, it means that we must be interested in what others do, because we can be what? Saved, but not safe. And our safety is guaranteed on the what? The behaviors, the actions and inactions of people around us to some extent. Hallelujah. 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 Therefore, our interdependency principle is that our lives are directly affected one way or the other by people who surround us. That is why we should be very mindful of what? Relationship. You know that? That is why the Bible always warns us about relationship. There's a very dangerous scripture in the Bible. Whenever I read it, it's scary. Psalms chapter 1. I'm coming to intercession. Follow me. I said, if you don't get these two principles, forget. You don't ever like intercession. Number one, if you don't know that the collective good of all is for your benefit. Hello? And that we are interdependent beings. As that's why we are social beings. If you don't understand it, you will not like intercession. Because if you understand, you know that if whatever I do right now can affect you directly or indirectly, you take intercession serious. Let's go. Psalm 1, verse 1. Listen to this. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the man that does not walk, that a man that walketh not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. Can I explain that to you? Counsel is good. But the Bible is saying that if the counsel is coming from the ungodly and you walk in it, God has not cursed you. You have what? Cursed yourself. Can we continue? Nor standeth in the way of what? Sinners. The way of sinners is talking about the means and how things are done. So it is not because of you, because it is a sinner who propounded that principle of. Remember how it became the way of Balaam? Method of how things are done. So if that is how you are also using to achieve your way, the Bible says that it is not I, God, because of your association with them. Relationship, interdependency. Last one. Nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Seat means that making your abode, finding yourself. So it means that you just living in the community of scornful people, you have cursed yourself. It's not like you are doing what they are doing. Can you see how serious this is? Just because you are seated, you are in the same place with people who are scornful, you have attracted curse. So you don't need to be a scornful person. You just need to be where they are. You don't need to be a sinner, but just follow the way of sinners. You don't need to be an ungodly, but just the counsel of an ungodly can bring curses on your life. Can you see how powerful relationships are? So imagine that you live in a place where there are scornful people, and you think that you don't care. Whatever they are doing, directly or indirectly, will affect you, because you are seated. You have taken residence in the place of the scornful. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20, another dangerous scripture about relationship is this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. What did he say? He that walketh with what? Wise men shall be what? So you can be a fool. Find wise people and walk with them, you'll be wise. If you want to be wise, just fine. If you have the world's most foolish person, you don't need to go to any school. Find wise people and walk with them, you'll be wise. But what did he continue to say? He said, but a companion, the friends of a fool, doesn't matter how wise you are. If you're a friend of a fool, what would happen to you? What would happen to you? So, if the devil wants to destroy you, do you know what he does? He finds a foolish person into your life. Doesn't matter how wise you are, because that foolish person is your friend, the case is settled. This is how many young sisters were corrupted. Found a foolish roommate who would start to introduce them to you. Oh, me, I don't care. Oh, he's living his own life. Oh, you lie. It's just a matter of time. If your friend likes girls, it is just a matter of time. You'll be a womanizer. If your friend has no problem with sleeping over, as long as he remains your friend, he will also do it. Because be not deceived. Bad communication corrupts good. So if you believe that we are interdependent, you see why it's very important? If we believe that we are interdependent on each other, then it is required of us that we take interest in what others do. Because directly or indirectly, it what? Affects us. As a reason that we are social beings, we are not island. We are not alone. And the Bible says, woe unto you when you are alone. So you can never be alone. You can never be alone. So if this is the truth, then it means that we have to be interested in the lives of other people. That is why intercession is a necessity. This is why praying for others is not optional but mandatory. Because it doesn't matter how good you are. Just one foolish act of another person. Haven't you seen men who have lived and worked and labored for years, have nurtured and grown business, raised foolish children, and the foolish children were able to turn a 25 years business upside down in 3 months? If you don't intercede for people, you can see that a brother or a sister will nurture a very godly relationship for years, then one very good friend, in quote, foolish one, will come and find him or herself in that relationship as a counselor, and a 5-4 years relationship that have lived to show for the principles of godliness will be corrupted and be shattered. Then you say men are scum. Of course, every man is a scammer, but spirit filled men are not scum. I will not argue with you. Yes, by nature we can scam you. Our words are seasoned to make sure we get you. See, as long as it can get you open your legs, we will say it. Even if I have to tell you to convince you that I can bring the sea to Takrade and take it from Takrade to Northern Region and bring it back to Kumasi and create Bantama Beach Resort for you to believe it so that you open your legs, I will say it. See, whatever we say to open your legs, we don't remember them all. That is why after it is done, you come to me and say, you said this, and he said, me, I don't remember. Men are scam. It's true. Women are senior scammers. But a spirit-filled woman is not a scammer. So please, if you are scammed, find out who and what that person was. So intercession is what? Mandatory. So what is intercession? Let's define. Simple. Intercession is any form of prayer that seeks to hold back or overturn judgment over an individual or a group of people with common interest. Any form of prayer that we engage in to hold back judgment. I'm going to explain. Anytime we engage in any form of prayer to hold back judgment or overturn judgment over the life of an individual or a group of people of common interest, that form of prayer is called what? Intercession. So in the book of Psalm 106 verse 23, there was a description of a man doing the work of what? Intercession. Can we go there? Psalm 106 verse 23. That is our second or last reading. Our last reading, right? Therefore, he said that he would destroy what? Them. This is God speaking. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the earth, preach. And we know that we stand before God as priests. And what do priests do? They burn an incense. They pray. So Moses stood before him to what? In the breach, to turn away his what? His wrath. So you see that judgment was what? Overturned. Lest he should what? Destroy them. And this was in the story of Exodus. When he said, Moses, let me alone that I will destroy these people. Moses said, Lord, repent from your heart, your anger. Yes. That was the audacity of Moses. He said, Lord, today you need repentance. Repent. Change your mind. This is your right. It will not work as long as I'm here. So anytime we get into this state where we overturn judgment that is being released against an individual, or there was a time a man was making intercession for another man. This one, God said, you're not here. That was Samuel interceding for Saul. Not knowing that, it means that, you see, this, God said, as for this one, it means that there has been time, Saul has been messing up, Samuel has been, this time said, God said, Samuel, as for this, is the chain breaker. I'm not going to listen to you. So intercession or intercessory prayer is that form of prayer that has nothing to do with you but has to do with what? Others. And you are praying for others because you are interdependent on each other. If you refuse not to pray for them, are we on the same page? So the question is, why intercession? Let me help you. Very important. I want you to fully understand this. Hallelujah. Now, intercession was introduced because of this reason. The throne of God is established on two things: justice and righteousness. The book of Psalm chapter 89 verse 14. This one, I'm not going to read it. Okay, let's read it for the sake of clarity. Psalm 89 verse 14. Let's read. Justice and judgment are the habitation of what? Thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy hot face. So before the face of God, or before the presence of God, is mercy and what? Truth. But the throne that God sits on, the pillars that hold it, one side is what? Justice. The other side is what? Righteousness. The other side is what? Judgment. And that word judgment also means what? Justice. This means that God is fair to all and cannot lower the standard or bend it for any creature who comes short of his what? Righteousness. So in principle, every being over here is either on the righteous side of God or on the justice side of God. Are we there? So if you fall short of righteousness, the claim of justice, which is judgment, will be fairly served. Therefore, it is either you are on at the righteous side of the throne of God or you are the justice side. Now, this is where the whole thing starts. Since the fall of Adam, man has fallen short of God's glory, putting man in the situation of being exposed to the justice side of God's throne. Follow me very well. When Adam sinned, man falls short of God's glory. And fall short of God's glory means that man deviated from the right path of God. That made man exposed unto what? God's justice. Romans. It is a popular scripture we all know. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. The Bible said that for all have what? And have fall short of what? The glory of God. In Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it interprets what to happen when we are forced. It said for what? For the wages of sin is what? That is justice. So, from the time that Adam fell, man has been exposed to the justice side of God. As a result of what? Drifting from what? The righteousness of God. Hence, are we there? However, God, out of his abundance love for humanity, has for every dispensation provided the means to attain right standing with him, so that man can escape the claim of divine justice as a result of sin. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible said the righteousness of God has been revealed from what? Time to what? Time. From generation to what? Generation. Because God loved man, and man was exposed to the justice side of God, God, out of his divine abundant love, created the means by which man can have right standing with him. Are you there? So that man will not face the what? The full merit of what? Justice. Because if you have the righteous side, you have escaped what? Justice. So you find out in the days of Noah, the ark was the righteousness of God. And you don't need to, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So because of the ark, whoever is in the ark was not going to face the wrath of God, was not going to face the wrath of God or the justice of God. In the days of Abraham, circumcision was what? The righteousness. Are we there? And whoever is circumcised was what? Preserved from the justice of God. In the days of Moses, the law was what? The righteousness. So, God knew that it's either you are on his what? Righteous side, or you are on his what? The side of judgment. And God never created man to face his wrath. God never created man that he will merit his judgment on him. That is of destruction. So God, even though man missed it, God gave man another opportunity that at every dispensation, man will find himself at his what? Righteous side. Hence, the job of an intercessor is to rebuild the wall of righteousness, should in case it has been brought down due to sin, and between the walls, that is the gaps, which are set up in the wall, he will position himself to stand and watch over and to sound the alarm in case of any danger. Are you following me now? So because of man to remain at the righteous side of God, and that justice will not be met, intercessors are being raised. Therefore, if there is no an intercessor, man is easily exposed to what? Judgment. Now, if we can read Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 30, let me read the NLT. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Are you following? Verse 30. Can I read? The New Living Translation. Said, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Can you see it? It does what? Guards the land. Number two, I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found out no one. Now, what God is describing over here, if you are a fan of ancient movie, you understand this thing over here. You see that when you watch ancient movies, the walls of the city, you see that there are certain things like towers, there are spaces between them. Do you understand? And people stand over there. They are warriors, and they do the watch, the four watch of the night. So we have those who start from 6 to 9. Then another badge will come from the earth. If you study resolving spiritual conflict, Daddy spoke about this concept. So when a wall is built, it is not enough. There are people who have to stand on the wall and watch. And when they see anything that is foreign, that is to bring distraction to the people, they sound alarm. And then they take the first initiative to make sure that it doesn't what? Break through the land. So if you want to invade a city, the first thing to do is to what? Take out the watches. How many of you have watched Troy before? Troy. You see that the last scene of Troy, when they brought in the Trojan horse, that's the Troy, the horse, as a sacrifice unto their God, not knowing that their enemies were hidden in that sacrifice. When they broke out, what was the first point of attack? They went after the watchmen. They didn't go into the city. They went after the watchmen and made sure that they took over the watch of the city. Therefore, intercessors are also watchers, because when they are at their post, no harm, no judgment will come to the people. So if the watcher does not watch, are we there? Are we there? Hallelujah. So intercession simply means two responsibilities. Number one, the ability to raise the walls of what? Righteousness. That will guard the city. Number two, being watchers over the wall so that no gap will be taken off by the enemy, to make sure that he drifts the people towards the justice side of God. And these watchers are not watching for themselves, they are watching for what? The people. Do we get it? Okay, now let's move on. Now that I've established the definition of intercession, now let's look at the requirement that Apostle Paul asked of us in practicing intercession. This is where the key thing is. I will not be able to finish everything on intercession today. We are going to look into it next week. So I'm going to focus on one side today. Now follow me. According to Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, he gave us two categories of people that the forms of prayer he listed, which what? Practice upon. Number one, he said we should what? Pray for all men. Number two, for those in what? Authority. Are you there? So we are going to look at intercession for all men. Are we there? 1 Timothy chapter 2. I saw therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. And then you continue that those in what? Authority. So we want to look at the intercession for all men. Now, let's start. Every man needs intercessory prayers, because claim of divine justice has no respect for the works or deeds. It is a matter of meeting up to God's standard, which no work or deeds of man can ever make up for it. None of us here is above the need for intercession. Because when it comes to intercession, it is to make up for divine justice. And nobody can meet up God's righteousness by deeds or work. I'll show you. What I'm trying to say is that it doesn't need for judgment to come upon you because you did the wrong thing. The fact that you have already fallen short of God's glory, you have qualified for what? Judgment. Are we there? That's why we all need intercessors. That's why Paul didn't exclude even the church. He said, all men. Everybody. Everybody needs intercession. Do you know the dangerous thing about this? The devil knows that no deed or work of man can be able to meet up to the demands of God. That is why he always seeks to try men before God, because he knows surely man will fall short. You see, the reason why the enemy will have the audacity to take anybody to God to be tried in the court of God, you know, the throne, okay, is because he knows very well that man has already fallen short and no deed or work of any man can save him. So that's why Paul said we should intercede for all men. Because it doesn't matter how prayer, it doesn't matter how much seed you are sowing. If the devil is able to find certain grounds, little grounds to approach God and make claims, that is why even though after the death of Jesus, he's still working one thing. What is he doing? Interceding. Do you know why Jesus is still interceding? Because not by might, nobody's work can meet up to the demands of God. Because the devil knew this, do you know that he was bold enough to bring Job for trial? Job chapter 9 verse 32. Let's see what Job said. The righteousness, God himself attested of Job. He said, there is no man found like Job in his time who was righteous up to God's standard. He said, there is no man who has taken pleasure. That is God's word. Job, he asked the devil, have you taken note of my servant Job? And that was not enough to threaten the devil. The devil said, okay. So now you want to tell me that Job, okay, let me put him to trial. Let's try him. Let's bring him to the side of justice and see if he's qualified. Now listen to Job, what he said. He said, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Are you following? So let's read verse 33. Dangerous. Neither is there any base man between us. That base man means what? Intercessor or an advocate. That word also means what? Advocate. Between us, that might lay his hand upon us both. So Job said the reason why what happened to him happened was because, first of all, God was not man that he could stand before God and then they'll reason together. In those olden days, today is the different case, but I want to prove a point to you here. Eli told his children that if a man offends another man, there is God who will stand between the two of them and settle the matter. But what if man offends God? Who will stand between the two of you? It was the same thing Job is trying to show over here, that when he was brought before the trial of God, God was not a man that he could go to him and then, and number two, there was not any advocate who will stand in between the two of them and settle the matter. Therefore, what even though his righteousness upon all that he have could not save him is because nobody interceded for Job. It was on this same principle that the devil brought Peter for trial. I pray for you. You see, one person should intercede for all men. You see, that is, don't think that Daddy Joe needs your intercession when God puts it on your heart. Because there could be a moment that the devil will try to find a space and bring judgment. But they are watchmen. Peter has walked with Jesus for years. Has been with Jesus. He didn't move the devil. One day, before the court of heaven, he brought him. Why did he bring him? The day that Jesus said, you are part of the system. You see, when he noticed that Peter was a key player in what will happen in the next generation. He said, this man, we have to try him and make sure that he doesn't get that far. So in Luke chapter 22 verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, this time he didn't call him Peter, he called him by his old name. Simon. Called him the second time, Simon. Do you know I'm calling you, Simon? Your case was brought before heaven today. And do you know how the devil wanted to try you? He wanted to sift you like wheat to make sure there's nothing left on you. Oh, who's a papa? Have you sifted a granite before? And the Lord said, this is he, yeah, he didn't call him Peter. But it was he, God, who changed his name from what? Simon to what? Peter. But this one, he said, let's get back to the root of your Simon. Simon, behold, Satan have desired. Oh, Jesus. So I didn't know the desire of Satan is this. To have you. Oh, God. You thank God for the intercessions of Jesus. Because last night, the way he has desired to have you. Hey. And we do what? That he may sift you. Sweet. It sounds funny, but it's a serious statement. That is it. The difference between Job and Peter was that when Job was desired that he would be sifted, there's nobody who stood him. Why? Because God is what? Just and righteous. So when the divine justice was activated, who stood him? Nobody. Read the next verse. Verse 32, what did God say? What did Jesus say? But I have what? I've done what? I've done what? So if the devil desire to sift a believer, it is the job of intercessors to do what? To pray. So that we can obtain the result or hold back judgment. Because see, when the devil gets that permission, nothing will be left of you. If you think I'm lying, ask Job. If not by God's restriction that he shouldn't take his life, he would have even taken it. Why? Because John 10:10 makes it clear. But the enemy cometh not but to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. So when the devil gets that permit that he can put you on trial until you are utterly destroyed, so we have to pray for all men, including you. So if you believe that there is a part I play in your life, can I tell you something funny? How many of you have realized that the moment some people started doing good in your life, things started happening in their life? Wild things, crazy things. If they started paying your fees, that's when their job were attacked. Do you know why? Good. Because of you, they were called to trial and their case has been brought up. And yet there's a discussion in heaven. That is why after Jesus died and rose up, he seated in heaven to make sure that what happened to Job will never happen to us. That none of us shall be brought, that our eternal counsel, eternal destiny. Now what Jesus is dealing with is our eternal destiny. But time destiny is left in our hands. We come there. That's why we have intercession. Somebody say, but Jesus is interceding. No, Jesus' intercession is for your eternal destiny, that you will not lose your salvation. You will not lose it. That one is on Jesus. So the work that Jesus is doing in heaven as intercession is your eternal destiny. That the devil cannot take that from you. But when it comes to your timeline destiny, it is on men. So if he cannot touch your salvation, he will touch your timeline destiny. So the day you decided to marry was the day that you were brought before court. That, are you fit? And that was the day that hell broke loose. I don't know why anytime you want Christians want to marry, hell break loose. As of remember, have you noticed that? When unbelievers are getting married, everything is cool. But when believers, yes, because with the timeline, he can be able to. So you try to put you on trial and demand whether or not you qualify. If intercession is not reached, I pray for you. I pray for you. If the devil has raised accusations, if by iniquity or anything, there has been a demand that you will be tried and that you will invoke the justice of God, judgment on God. We stand between the porch as Moses stood before the between the people and God and averted the judgment. I pray, may God speak on your behalf. The Bible said, will he not, as a righteous judge, even judge for the righteous? Because of their persistency, I pray for you that anytime the enemy will desire, just as he desired that Peter will be sifted, anytime the enemy will desire you, oh, let God place it in the heart of men. This is said that I prayed for you. Paul said we should pray for all men. We should intercede for all men. We pray that God will get men and women who will take up your matter and cases and give a lasaya and said that, Lord, these ones shall not perish. Oh Lord, these ones shall not perish. Even though the eternity destiny is secured, we make intercession for the timeline destiny. And we said that the bishopric of this one shall not be taken, and his inheritance shall not be given to another. I pray that any negotiation in the demonic world, seeking way to raise accusations against what God is taking you, and intercept and override the will of God. Level kota sataya. Oh, remesen no koposaya. We hold back that judgment. We hold back that judgment in the name of Jesus. Play with intercession and you pay heavily for it. Now, Paul said that we should intercede for all men. How do we do this? Before we can intercede for all men, we have to understand the classifications of men according to scriptures. And we will understand the need for their intercession. And according to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 32, scripture makes us understand that every human being on this earth belongs to these three class of people. Number one, give no offense neither to the Jews, nor to the what? Gentiles, and nor to what? The church of God. So in the sight of God, there are three groups of people. It's not Africans. God has not seen an African. God has not seen an American. God either see a Gentile, a Jew, or the church of God. And this three big group of people, Paul said we should pray for all men. So by this classification, we are going to learn what kind of intercession is necessary for the Jew, and what kind of intercession is necessary for the Gentile, and what kind of intercession is necessary for the church of God, which are the saints. Are we there? Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? I don't know, but I feel like praying. See, the enemy is so hungry, looking for ways and means to destroy people. Let's start with the Gentiles. Concerning the Gentiles, a Gentile is anyone who is not born again and also not a pure breed of Abraham's descendants by blood. So if you are not a Christian, you are not born again, and you also don't belong to the by blood, that is the Jew, pure breed of Abraham, you are what? A Gentile. Do you have Gentiles around us? It is expected of us to intercede for them because we live with them and their actions or inactions do affect our lives in one way or the other. For some of us, our fathers are not born again and they are not Jewish. Is that not it? Our aunties are not born again. They are not Jewish. I'm going to show you that you have to intercede for them. And you're going to see their intercessory need. We are going to look at it. You take this lightly. That uncle that is not born again can be the one the devil will use to deal with him. It's better you pray for them, oh, intercede. But before we continue, not all prayers we pray for people are intercession. Know the definition of intercession. We can make supplication for people. Remember, we did that in supplication, right? God. Now let's move on. What are the intercession need of the Gentiles? First one. The first intercession need of the Gentile is that they will come to the knowledge of Christ that is aligning with the righteousness of God, so that they will escape God's divine judgment, which is what? Eternal damnation. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he said, "For this is good and acceptable before the Lord, that all men will come to what? The knowledge of what? Christ." Why? Because God does not take interest in seeing anybody going to hell. You think I'm lying? 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's read it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should, help me church, any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance." God's desire is that no man should perish. So when I say God is looking for a man, or God sought out for a man, we see this is his desire. So for Gentiles, it is on us to pray for them, that they will come to what? The saving knowledge of God. Because it is the will of God that every man would come to repentance. God desired that. So in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 that we read, that he sought for a man that he will not destroy them. This is the reason that when righteousness is not established in a place, that means that people are not in the will of God. That means that they have not received Jesus. They have activated divine or judgment on themselves. And we know that that divine judgment, that they are condemned into forever or fiery furnace of God. That is not God's desire. How can that be done? Until there are intercessors. Because he said, "I sought for a man that the word do stand, that they will not be consumed." So there's a way we will pray people into what? The kingdom. Follow me. How do we do this? We do this by praying the prayer of rescue for them. Mark chapter 3 verse 27 said, "Can anyone enter into the house of a strong man and take it away his good, unless he binds them?" And we know that by scripture in the book of Corinthians, we know that the Bible established that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, that they may not see the light of what? Of salvation. So there is a God over this world that has men as his bona fide property, keeping them. It takes an intercessor of prayer. And said that, "We will not let you keep these people for judgment. We will not allow that. I will not let you let my father die and face the wrath of God. And therefore you take a stand to avert judgment, to hold back judgment against them." If you believe that that brother or sister, the person around you, should not die. You see, this is where evangelism is birthed from. How many of you have heard of Father Nash? How many of you heard of Charles Finney? It's recorded that he's a man that 85% of people who threw his hand were born again, never went back into the world, and they were strong Christians. Do you know how it came about? Because a retired minister of God called Father Nash would go on his knees and travel in prayer. Sometimes 3 weeks, 1 month, he will go to a city where Charles Finney will be going for the crusade. And what he's going to do, that he'll find 2-3 believers, lock themselves up in a room, no food, only water, and they will pray. And by the time Charles Finney will enter the place, there's total conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict people. And it is said that there are thousand cities that Charles Finney entered, alcohol was not sold there for 100 years. He closed down nightclubs. How can you enter the house of a strong man and bind him? If we mean serious with evangelism, it is not about going. See, we can convince people, it's true, and they'll come to church, but we can't convict them except by prayer, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. I always say this, that whoever you don't pray for, don't bother evangelizing to the person. Charles Finney, he said that nothing can be done without prayer, even soul winning. So Gentiles, their number one intercessory need is that they will escape the wrath of God, which is eternal judgment that awaits them. And it is on you. Can God find you? Because the Bible says he sought for a man among them. Can God find you that in your family nobody will perish in hell? I said, can God find you? Can God find you that in your lecture hall nobody will perish? can God find you that in that vicinity you are, nobody will perish, because he sought for a man, and that man is an intercessor who will stand between the gap and raise the walls of righteousness and be a water and make sure that no one what has been the cause of the church now? We are interested in filling our churches. People come to church unrepented. We need their money. But the one most important thing, we don't do it. So the Gentiles need our prayer. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter 66 verse 8, as soon as Zion traveled, he brought forth the child. We know that Zion, in the book of Hebrews, that Zion is the church of God, the firstborn, the church of God. So when Zion travels, means that the church travels. And another word for what? Intercession is what? Traveling. So if Zion travels, means that Zion brings forth a child. What is the child? We are talking about souls. So it is out of intercession that souls are won. Can we count on people in this church that when we set up on this same Jesus healing campaign, we will have men and women who hide in the secret place and pray and travel until children are born? If not, we are causing kingdom lost. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 8, as Zion travels, we need to travel for the now. Do you know that whenever we pray for the unbelievers to be born again, we do ourselves so much good, in the sense that we get the opportunity to live a quiet and peaceful life? Because when men come to the knowledge of Christ, when men come to know Christ, they cease to be a tool or an instrument of destruction in the hands of the devil. Do you know that? If you think I'm lying, go and ask the early church how they had a peace of mind when Paul became born again. Did you know that the tenacity to which Paul was rising up, if it hadn't been that the church stood in prayers and were praying for all souls, interceding for them, do you know the harm Saul would have done to them? The guy went for license for just one occupation. Oh my God. He had only one motivation in life. And the motivation that he had as a zeal that consumed him was licensed. And the license was that if he finds anybody who has declared he or herself that he's a follower of Christ, he shall bound them with chain. How can the devil fill the heart of a human being that somebody who has done nothing wrong to you, you have this kind of zeal? Do you know why people are on the social media in every place, has so much anger for the church? We have done nothing to them, you have said nothing wrong to them, you have never offended them, but they are so zealous. You wait until they get the license, you wait until they get into the place of authority, and you know the wickedness in the minds of people against the church, and be quiet and don't pray for them, that they'll have the encounter that Paul had. And I tell you, if you can serve God in a peaceful mind, you run away, you deny Christ. The Bible said he was licensed to bring affliction and pain. And the thing is that he was not targeted. He said both great and small, young and old. Hey, Paul was on a mission. And the church has been praying. So on his way, the church's prayer arrested him, because God will not desire that he will die in his wickedness. You think that those guys you see around, who you call them robbers, the ladies that you are seeing them, that they are sex workers, hookers, you wait, don't pray for them and see if you have a quiet life. Your husband will be a target. Let me tell you, she is not ready to marry you. She's looking for who can take care of her. It doesn't care whether it's a pastor. Fornication does not know anointing. Oh Jesus. That is why you find out that the man that is betrothed to you, another shall take. Because you didn't intercede for that another. Brother of us who is not more here came to share something with me. That where he used to work for one of the ministries in the country. Name was held. He used to work for the minister in charge as a help. I know most of you know him. He said, sometimes when you take the elevator and you meet some of the ladies in the elevator, he said that you can't even have word to speak. He said, their presence alone will arrest you. And he said, so if they tell you to remove your dress, you remove it. You think our ministers and our leaders who are caught up in some kind of funny, you think it is easy for them? Some people have received license from the devil that will go after them. Your husband is next. Be quiet. Your wife is next. But we will pray for them, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. That we will have our peaceful mind. The young man who is now a threat in that community that is attacking everybody, if you pray for him, he will stop. Oh, Jesus. Number two, another intercessing need of the Gentiles is that should their actions and inactions provoke the claim of divine justice over a territory, we as the righteous ones will lift up a prayer of covering, because God does not take a desire in the death of a sinner. See, you don't know the desires of God. That is why these things don't matter to you. Can we read Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11? God is always seeking for intercessors because he doesn't want the wicked to die in his sins. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have not, church together, I have not, oh help me, I have not. So this means that God takes pleasure in the death of the righteous. And the righteous die, God is happy. But when the wicked dies, that is why when somebody dies, it's not to our loss, it is the gain of heaven. We lose. Say, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his way and what, and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of what? God wants every man to live to the fullness of the capacity he created them. God wants every man to live. Sometimes, most of these stubborn guys that we go after and we speak ill of them, they are the future evangelists and apostles. And God wants them to live to accomplish those purposes. How can that be done? He has to sort for a man who will stand in the gap and make sure that these people, they repent out of prayer. So the second need of the Gentiles, that they can live. In other words, it will take the prayers of the believers to make an unbeliever live long. If there's anybody in your family who is not born again, the life of that person is in your hands. If you don't pray for that person, the enemy will take the person out of this. And let me tell you something. Not all people who are not born again are bad people. Some are good, but they are not born again. But the good doesn't mean it is godly. There are good people who are not born again. Yes, but they are not godly people. It is required of us that we intercede for them. For time factor, let me move on quickly. Number three. The reason why. So, the point number two, you find out that Moses stood in so that God would not kill the people of what? Israel. The innocent people. God would not kill them. Do you know that God said he wanted to wipe out everybody so that we left with only Moses and his children? So you could imagine that Caleb and Joshua also were killed because of this. Who would have taken them to the promised land? Are you with me? If Moses' prayer was able to keep Caleb and Joshua alive, because he told God to them, I'll wipe everybody away. It is only you, your children, I'll leave alive. So mean that Caleb and Joshua would have also suffered. Point number three for the Gentiles. It is not in the nature of God to destroy the righteous together with the wicked. That's when wickedness exceeds its boundaries and divine justice is invoked. God will look out for intercessors to hold back judgment so that righteousness will not be destroyed. Righteous people will not be destroyed together with the wicked. This is very important too. I didn't participate in some, so I don't need to pray. But you heard that your family went to make some sacrifice to some idol. Don't you know that is a provokes God? You don't know. Oh, that you hear that an innocent woman was killed in your community, that you didn't do it. Is that not it? So you don't mind. Do you know that when the judgment is coming over that providence, it doesn't know the innocent, neither does it know the guilty. Have you ever seen a military a rampage before? Go and ask the people in Hashem and they can explain to you. It is not comparable to God when he wants to invade a territory that their cup is full. Are we there? So for the sake of the righteous not to be counted among the wicked and be destroyed with them, Abraham said to God, shall you, God, destroy the righteous and the wicked because it is not in your nature? God said, I will not. Even Sodom and Gomorrah, upon all that were doing, you know that Lot was not doing something. But you know that if Abraham didn't hold God and make intercession, Lot could have also been burnt with the sulfur. You ain't said, oh, as for me, I'm not part. Oh, what they are doing, I'm not part. Oh, when the cup is full and divine justice is invoked, the devil will instigate man against God and then use it against man. That's what he does. So he instigates man to provoke God. And when man has provoked God to the fullness, you go to God and demand divine justice. And justice will be met. And then it will happen. When tsunami happened or earthquake happened in Turkey, was it only the guilty who died? So you be there when we say we should pray for Ghana. Say, me, I'm not part of the corruption that is going on in the country. You don't need to be part too. There's obviously one family member of yours who did some. That is why when even the devil, when they bring a curse on a family, it's not the person who did the thing that dies. Even those who have nothing to do about it are being taken on. So we need to pray for the Gentiles so that whatever they have done to invoke divine justice, because we are there and we are located in that vicinity, we have to pray and intercede and intercept that judgment through repentance and God's mercy. That judgment will not happen because the Lord, it is not in his interest to destroy the righteous without the wicked. From today, will you intercede for people? Do you see the need? I want to conclude with the Jewish people and then we'll close. It is required of us to pray for the Jewish people. A scriptural to pray for Jerusalem. Yes, that's what the Bible says. So it is good for us to pray for Israel, intercede for Israel. Let's read the book of Psalms, chapter 122. Psalms 122. Quickly. Next week we will continue concerning intercession about the church of what? God, and other things that God will lay on my heart concerning intercession. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed today? Hallelujah. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's continue. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Are you following? Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of what? David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know that judgment and peace, they are not friends. When there is peace, there can't be judgment. Is that true? So when God is asking us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it means that we should pray that judgment will not fall on Jerusalem. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love what? Thee. So why do we need to pray for Jerusalem? Because one of the ways to activate the prosperity of God upon your life is that you intercede for Jerusalem. It's scriptural. So God recognized the Jewish people as a separate entity on this earth. And one of our, is that this, the Bible says, should pray for all men. Whenever we want to pray for the Jewish people, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because when we do that, there is a promise attached to it that the people who love thee, and by that they make intercession for Jerusalem, God will prosper them. The reason why America is America is because of how they give their full support to Israel. And any country who will love Israel and support Israel rises up. This scripture is the underlying principle. Don't listen to what people say. Yes, God will deal with them with his own way. Whether they have accepted Jesus or not, it is not your business. It is between them and God. We are following scriptures. And we can find from scriptures that when we intercede for Jerusalem and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, prosperity becomes our share. So if there is one way we can activate prosperity over our life, is what? Intercede for the peace of what? Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Today I came to tell you that there is many reasons why we have to intercede for people. Paul said we should pray for all men, intercede for all men. If nothing at all, today you have understand the need of intercession for the Gentiles. Will you rise to your feet with me in the next 5 minutes? You want to pray? This one, we're not going to pray for people far off. I want you to look back into your family, your class, your workplace, and think about one or two people who are yet to be born again. And in the next 5 minutes, we are going to pray. And our prayer is that, Lord, it is not in your desire that the wicked will perish in his wickedness. Lord, it is not your desire that people will not be born again. You desire that all men will come to repentance, all men will be saved. So therefore, God, this man, this woman, this uncle, this auntie of mine, this father, this mother of mine, this workmate of mine, this colleague of mine, I come and I stand in the gap and I pray that, oh God, let him have an encounter. Let him have an encounter with you. Let him have an encounter with you. Every force or power of darkness, you come under the full force of the Holy Ghost. Just bring the name upon me.
So glad we stayed . I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.